We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Food for thought. Roto-Grinders, NFL discussion, you're tuned in. The Looch and the Chief, we're back for another week. The season's winding down. Boy, oh boy, I had a terrible week in daily fantasy sports and sports gambling. But did I enjoy some of the football we had? And we called some shots. We're seeing some of these heated discussions that we've been having and the tangents we've been going off on. A lot of it played out in week 14 Sunday. Will Priester, what's up?
Nothing much, brother. Happy to come on and yet again, you know, talk about some of these things in the form of our recap. And the No Faith League strikes again. And it started Thursday night. Once the Steelers lost to the Patriots, I already knew the shenanigans were on their way for Sunday. And yet again, Luch, we see teams just dying by the dozens. What are you saying, Chief? Teams that should be winning football games waltz their way into a Sunday matchup and walk out with a defeat. This week's culprits, Luch, of the No Faith League come in the form of none other than the Houston Texans going into New York and MetLife. And we're thinking, oh my goodness, Zach Wilson is back starting. It's such a tumultuous time for the Jets organization. Obviously, C.J. Stroud leaves the game with a concussion, but I don't care. They got drubbed 30-6. The Colts, we see them. They're playing the Bengals. We're thinking, hey, maybe this is a team that has a shot at getting into the playoffs, and they still do. But Jake Browning shows us, hey, maybe last week wasn't a fluke. 34-14 Bengals, Colts. The Jaguars go into the dog pound to play the Browns and the aging, ever so aging Joe Flacco, and they get beat 31-27. Oh my goodness. The Detroit Lions, leading the NFC North, go into Chicago, Soldier Field. Ladies and gentlemen, Bears put a stomping on the Detroit Lions, 28-13. The 49ers are who we thought they were. The Chargers are who we thought they were. The Broncos went in there and got a W easily. Had some shenanigans in the Chiefs game. We'll come back to that. Our good friends up in Philly, we've been talking about it. The Dallas Cowboys, obviously Philly had to go into Jerry's World. It wasn't pretty, folks. Turnovers to start the game. Turnovers in the middle of the game. Turnovers to close the game. And the Cowboys just kept scoring points. Brandon Aubrey, 3 kicks over 50 yards. That does not exclude all the other touchdowns that this team scored. Dallas just put a molly-molly-whopped the Philadelphia Eagles. Folks, the No Faith League was in full effect yet again in week 14.
Yeah, two big spots we need to start in. And One's in Philadelphia with Dallas, and the other one is the Kansas City Buffalo game. Let's start with the Wambulance. Somebody call the Wambulance. All I heard yesterday between 7 Eastern and midnight was all sorts and forms and variations of crying and whining, whether it was coming from the Kansas City Chiefs fans and followers or directly from the Kansas City Chiefs themselves. Let's talk about the call. And you know what call I'm talking about. Kadarius Toney was on the line. He was lined up in the neutral zone. Now, before we even dive into that, hell of a play from Travis Kelce to lateral that potato. Not even a lateral. That was a BB. It was a finessed, you know, dart on the money to Kadarius Toney, who was behind him. That was the legal part of the play, which could have won the football game. Just, you know, amazing heads up football IQ play from one of the best, not only tight ends, but players of all time in Travis Kelce. And of course, that play didn't count. I'm sure if you're tuning into this podcast, it's not the first form of football media you're listening to since Sunday. But if you were living under a rock, that play would have likely won the Chiefs the game. But Kadarius Toney lined up in the neutral zone. So that play was nullified. And it was an objective call. It was a penalty. It wasn't some subjective, well, was it holding? Well, was it a late hit? Well, was there roughing the passer? There was no subjectiveness about where he was standing before the ball was snapped. So, listen, dude, Chief Will Priester, I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. And maybe the biggest combination of talent and athleticism that we've seen at the position in a really long time. And of course the Chiefs have done a hell of a lot of winning since you and I have known each other. You know, how long have we known each other? A couple years. They've done nothing but win and win Super Bowls on top of that. And they've carried themselves and conducted themselves like champions. I've had nothing bad to say about Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid. Honestly, and you know what? They seem like good people, good human beings. This is not me, you know, crapping on their character or who they are as people. But for both of them to get up after that game, and like all this stuff's on the mic, for Patrick Mahomes to be livid on the sideline, whoever he was trying to go after, whether it was the referees or whatever, for him to go up to Josh Allen, they've dueled many times in big games, playoff games, Super Bowl, you know, Super Bowl chips are on the table. And pretty much every time, Mahomes has been on the right side of these matchups with Josh Allen and the Bills. For him to not even say, good game, played a hell of a game, to just say that was one of the worst calls I've ever seen, and not even give us an inkling of sportsmanship to not carry himself, you know, like the decorated champion he is, like the good guy who he seems to very well be, I thought it was really out of character. And for Andy Reid, right? This guy's been in football for decades. I have nothing but respect for both of these guys. You know, I don't know them personally, but Andy Reid seems like a stand-up guy. He's never done anything that I'm like, well, this guy, I don't know. You know, never gave me any of those vibes. You know, stays in his lane, is very respectful. You know, for him to say that it's an embarrassment for the league and for Patrick Mahomes to say that that place should have stood is completely asinine to me, Will Priester. I don't know what side of the line you're on in this discussion because we haven't talked about it off the air, but I'm really curious to hear your take on it.
Well, let me say this. First off, this was a black and white play because what I did, Luch, I knew this is something we were going to talk about. I've watched the evolution of how this whole play took place from start to finish, right? Just to make sure I could give an accurate account during our discussion. So here's how this play went. And if I get anything wrong, Luch, please just say, oh, Chief, well, you missed something there. Here's how this play went. Chiefs lineup. Kadarius Toney lines up. I don't see Kadarius Toney looking check with the line judge. All receivers check with the line judge, just, and even though he was tight. How many times, Luce, do you watch a play unfold? Receiver goes out. They check. Look. They say, hey, we're good. They say they're good. If not, they say no. And then what do you see the receiver do if they're not good? They take a little step back, away from the line of scrimmage to ensure that they're lined up correctly. Kadarius Toney lines up. His eye is on the center, on the ball, on the snap, on the play call. That's where Kadarius Toney is. Here's something else I watched for, Luch. Was it a delayed flag? Did it come out after the play unfolded, or did it come out right away? Go back and watch the film. As soon as the ball is snapped, you see a yellow flag flying through the air, landing onto the grass, which means what? The line judge was ready to throw this thing right away. There was no delay. It wasn't like, oh, he was offsides, I missed that. No, as soon as the ball was snapped, Luch, the flag flies through the air. I don't care how great the play was with Travis Kelce. I don't care that he caught the ball and threw it back. I don't care that Kadarius Toney scored a touchdown. I don't care what's happened in the past. Here's what happened today. Kadarius Toney should have kept his toe off of the line of scrimmage. And if nothing else, Luch, don't cover up the football. The line judge couldn't even see the football, right? So I don't want to hear this crap, right? If you're gonna get all the glory, then you got to have some guts. And guess what? I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes is a bad person either. Patrick Mahomes has been a consummate professional, right? whenever he's called upon, these receivers have dropped 30 plus passes this year already. I haven't heard him blame not one receiver. But here are the facts. The Chiefs are not as good as they've been in the past. But it's for varying reasons. One reason is that they make too many mistakes. Right? Like when we watch Andy Reid football teams, what do we talk about? Execution and coming off of the bye, how great they are, and all of these other things. Their execution has been poor this season. Penalties, not catching the football, turnovers. The defense has kept them in some of these games, right? That they probably should not have even been in, but the defense has kept them in. How many times has Kadarius Toney cost them a win this season? Two or three? How many times has Sky Moore cost him first downs? Two or three? How many times, even Travis Kelce fumbled at the end of a drive late, cost him a game? Rashee Rice, as good as he's been, as much volume as he's picked up recently, he's been dropping passes. We've seen MVS drop passes. We've seen Justin Watson drop passes. We've seen Noah Gray just be non-existent sometimes. Like, I'd be trying to get Noah Gray more involved. He's probably more sure-handed than half of the receivers. We've seen them ratchet up, right? We've seen them ratchet up the run game with my good friend Sonic the Hedgehog, Isaiah Pacheco, right? We've seen them ratchet up the run game. We've seen them phase out CEH for some reason. I don't know what CEH did to somebody. He must have stole somebody's girlfriend in the front office. He just got completely phased out. So here's my thing, Luke. I don't know. I'm not a football coach, right? I'm not a football, let's say football savant. I'm more of a basketball savant because that was my main sport. That's the sport I played. That's the sport I diagnosed. That's the sport I coach. That's the sport I'm best at in terms of real life playing. So I'm not here to challenge the brilliance of Andy Reid. What I am saying is, you've had a lot of holes and problems with this team, and we continue to see the same problems every week. Now, I'm not saying Andy Reid needs to get fired. That's not what I'm saying, right? Because the players have to go play. You got X's and O's, and then you got Jim's and Joe's. The players have to go and perform. But at some point, Luch, somebody in the front office has got to start making better decisions. We lost Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is doing just fine. In fact, his production has increased. Since Tyreek Hill left the team, they won a Super Bowl last year with this same roster, pretty much. But for some reason, it's just not clicking. Here's something else that's happening around them, Luce, that I think we don't want to acknowledge. The teams around them in the AFC and the NFC, they're going to continue to get better, right? They're continuing to add weapons to the pile. Now, how these teams use those weapons, hey, it could go one way or the other. But Kansas City is not adding enough talent to really compete. They're trying to, in my mind, they're treating Patrick Mahomes like Tom Brady too early. I bet nobody thought we were going to say that today. They are treating Patrick Mahomes like he's Tom Brady too early because of the early success. Tom Brady has, you know, over the years, he proved, right, that he could carry no names all the way to a championship. Patrick Mahomes has only done it once, and they wanted him to do it again, and it's not happening. Do you see what I'm saying, Luch? Like, look, if we're going to pick Mahomes as one of the elites, one of the greats, and from a talent perspective, absolutely. But I think this team thought they were in the middle of a dynasty, and guess what? They're not. This is not a dynasty. And if they don't fix it, if they don't get more talent, if they don't get better offensive linemen, if they don't figure out the wide receiver room, if these guys don't figure out a way to get on track, Kelsey's going to get aged off the team. And then we're just going to have Patrick Mahomes and who?
He's already getting there. We're almost there. Father Time is undefeated. You're right.
But that's what I'm saying. This is Gronk. This is Antonio Gates. Gronk, at some point within the next three seasons, Kelsey's going to be about out of there. And then how are we going to view Patrick Mahomes if the wins don't continue? If the championship success doesn't continue? If the AFC championships don't continue to materialize? Here's what we're going to say, Luke. One of the greatest talents in NFL history. He's got the rings already. He got them so early, kind of like Rodgers, right? He got them so early until he's already going to be cemented. But the level of excellence, and I'm going to treat him just like Aaron Rodgers. I'm not holding punches here. As Aaron Rodgers continued to play, what did we see, Luke? He had the stats, but he couldn't close the deal. Couldn't get past that NFC championship. Couldn't get back to the Super Bowl. And in my mind, if they don't fix this, we're going to see what people label as one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time, and he's going to be playing on 8-8 football teams. You get what I'm saying? 8-9 football teams, however you want to say. And I'm not saying that to exaggerate. I'm saying if the Ravens keep playing, we know Joe Burrow's been out. He's coming back, and the Cincinnati Bengals are still there. What happens if the Bills fix whatever's going on in their locker room, which seems to possibly be fixed anyway? You see what I'm saying? This thing could spiral out of control quickly when this team thought, Luch, that they had another 3 to 4 years of a window. They have no window. The window's gone. It's Patrick Mahomes and a bunch of misfits. That's what's going on in Kansas City.
They have a little bit of money next year. So
has that front office proven to you that they're going to go out and get elite talent?
No, but they have to. You're right. It doesn't mean they won't. But another thing is,
might not, though. So if they don't, because here's the thing. Okay, who are they going to go get? And then are they going to fix their offensive line problems? The defense is fine. But you get, Luch, we've talked about this. It doesn't matter how great you are. You can get to a Super Bowl with middle-level quarterback play and an elite offensive line and a great defense. We saw Peyton Manning do it in Denver.
Yeah.
We've seen Tom Brady do it with no talent around him. Right? So, because guess what? Here's the other thing, Luch, and I promise I'm going to hand it back because I know we've talked about this team a lot. Not only is Kelsey going to get phased out, I know Patrick's young, but every year he's getting older. Every year. And yeah, his mind's going to stay sharp. I get that. But for someone that relies on pure talent and escapability, that's going to elude him at some point. At some point, that's not going to be there. Where are the pieces going to be around him that can help him sustain excellence? I don't trust his front office to bring in Randy Moss.
No.
I know you get my reference. I don't trust him.
But if there's going to be a time to do it, it's now. This is a great offseason for
They could have got DeAndre Hopkins last season.
They should have, but they didn't. But there's a
handful. They could have got Stephon Diggs at some point.
Maybe this season won't work out. Maybe they won't win the Super Bowl. And I don't think they will. And I know you don't think they will.
No. I don't think they're going this year.
Do they have a shot? Yes. I think the AFC is still wide open. And we'll continue that discussion. But you look at the upcoming NFL unrestricted free agents. There's a handful of aging but still, you know, mid-wide receiver to high-end wide receiver ones that are available that'll be looking for like 2 or 3 year contracts. So
give me three.
Prove it. Give me three now. Prove it now.
Like give me three, Luch.
They need to prove it now and bring in Mike Evans. right? I mean, you want to talk a guy who's been through it all, reliable, big target. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, I go to the front office and say, you're bringing me Mike Evans next season. You whiffed on DeAndre Hopkins. You whiffed on Sky Moore. Justin Ross can't see the field. Marcus Valdez. You give me Marcus Valdez Scantling. Like, you get rid of my guy Tyreek. You're bringing me Mike Evans or I'm not going to be happy. And you know I have leverage on the whole organization. That's what I say if I'm Patrick Mahomes. You know?
Do you think Evans leaves the Buccaneers after all those years and continuing to just yeah. – I mean, listen, bro, he's Hall of Fame. Like, I mean, he's got, what, 10, 11, 1,000-yard seasons now? What was this season? Was it 10 or 11?
I think it's 10.
So this is his 10th season over 1,000 yards consecutively.
Right, Hall of Famer.
Like, right. Bro – and he's got a ring. He's in.
Yeah, but it's insane. Hey, why not? That guy is competitive. He's a gamer. There are very, very few, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Doesn't really matter. Who, you know, if you want to tell your kids one day, I played with the two best quarterbacks that ever lived, it might be Patrick Mahomes, might be that second guy by when it's all said and done. You know, go rent a condo for a year in Kansas City and go play for a year with Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying it's going to be Mike Evans, but that would be the fit of all fits, in my opinion. But anyway, like the story here is, you're right. They need to make some changes. They're not a juggernaut. Last week, I said, and you pretty much agreed, that maybe there's no tier one team in the NFL, and tier two was full of a bunch of teams. Well, tier one is San Francisco, and tier two is still cluttered with a bunch of teams like Kansas City, in my opinion.
Listen, here's what I will say. After, because what we needed to see the Cowboys win this game,
right?
But we needed to see it be convincing. Like, it couldn't be a 30-27. It was pretty convincing yesterday. Like, I would say, in terms of where teams are today, give me San Francisco, give me Dallas, give me the Ravens, tier one.
Hold that.
And I'll go 1A, 1B, 1C. I'm going to give the Ravens a pass for the weather.
I like that. Hold that thought. The last thing I'll say about the Chiefs, and these guys have been, you know, Mahomes and Andy Reid, like you said, have been professionals, high class, you know, pent up frustration since the opening week of this season, for sure.
Oh,
for
man. Sure.
For sure. For sure. That was like frustration and whatever, you know, I'd rather them do it in person and like have the cojones to do it in person, then go on Twitter and start deleting tweets like Darius Toney so often did. Like AJ Brown does. Like, I'd rather them do it in person. I have more respect for you going off in person, even if you're blatantly wrong, than going online and just typing a bunch of garbage. I will say this. You see the AFC playoff picture and how congested it is and how these teams are just kind of all beating up on each other right now because it's the no faith league. Not only do you have Mahomes in this mega contract, and he's the best quarterback in the league, no doubt. Yes, the front office needs to put up so we can shut up about it in the offseason and bring in someone else. It's such a team sport. You can have a generational quarterback and a generational play caller, and you still might not get to the AFC Championship. That's how many pieces it takes to, you know, fill out this NFL offensive puzzle. But not only do you have that, but you look at the AFC South, you have four more promising quarterbacks on rookie contracts. Those are the windows. Those teams are going to continue to be aggressive. The Tennessee Titans might get mollywopped by Miami, but Will Levis has shown us something. They're leading the league in cap space heading into 2024. They're going to have a top 10 draft pick. Jacksonville, can they bring Calvin Ridley back? They still have Travis Etienne. Trevor Lawrence has been banged up all year, and he's starting to, you know, he's still making plays, you know, keeping Jacksonville competitive despite the loss, you know, against Cleveland this week. C.J. Stroud, you can't say enough about C.J. Stroud. He's hands down right now the best quarterback in this draft class. You have stud receivers on young contracts as well between Nico Collins, Tank Dell. You know, you have Damian Pierce, we can figure it out. That gives you ammunition to figure out the defensive side of the ball and the offensive line. They're going to be scary too. You have all these teams that are where the Chiefs were in the beginning of their dynasty window when Mahomes was on that rookie deal, when they could afford guys, you know, like Tyreek Hill, you know, more pieces on the defensive side of the ball, like the Honey Badger. You know, you have these, you know, four to seven other teams that have promising up-and-coming quarterbacks who aren't quite maybe ready right now, but next year it's going to be even scarier, you know, for a team that doesn't have as much flexibility. Like, they have some money next year, but if they wouldn't even sweeten the pot and bring DeAndre Hopkins into town this year, like you said, that's a major flop, and hopefully, you know, they learn from that error. Excuse me. But before we get into Philly and Dallas in this kind of lopsided elephant in the room, because these were two of the most massive, you know, situations on the Sunday slate, is a big win for Buffalo. I did bet that 35-1 last week. They went into Arrowhead, got it done, you know, with all the dramatics and theatrics involved, and that number went down to 18-1. The rest of the Bills' schedule is rough. They have Dallas, they have Miami, they have the Chargers in New England. I think they're going to have to win three. It'll be exciting, though. It was fun to get that number on Buffalo. We will see what happens and see if they can sneak in. Anyway, that's all I have to say about Kansas City and the Bills. And if you want to segue into, you know, more of this Eagles-Dallas discussion, have at it, my friend.
Well, I think for the Eagles in Dallas, we just needed to see. Remember, I think we just needed to see who's going to come out of this game. Now, the difference between these two teams right now for me, Luch, is Dallas still has some contenders in front of them that if they beat these contenders, like I think, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, they've got to go to Buffalo. They've got to go to Miami. If Dallas comes out triumphant over those two teams, Luch, and I don't even – so here's what I think about those games. I don't think they have to win by 20. I think if they can get one of these games convincingly, let's say they beat Buffalo by, you know, 10 to 12 points, right? I think that's going to be enough to say, okay, like clearly Cowboys tier one team. If they beat both of these teams – that I think we're really going to feel like, okay, like they beat really good quality competition in three of the last 4 weeks, right? I think we're going to start to say, okay, at this point, it's in the NFC, it's them and it's San Francisco, because they won't see each other again until the playoffs, as long as they both win. So it feels like the Cowboys and the 49ers might be on a collision course, Luch, like the early 90s, early to mid-90s, when it felt like every season, right? The 49ers and Cowboys won this collision course. So I feel that way as long as the Cowboys beat these quality opponents. I don't think we got to waste time on the Eagles, because I think we saw this coming weeks and weeks ago. Because if you remember, one of the things we talked about, Luch, together was if we were going to call out the Minnesota Vikings last season for their style of play and the way they were winning, then why were we giving the Eagles a pass this season when they were playing the same style of football? So think about this, Luch. How did Minnesota play last year? Really bad secondary. You could throw all over them, and they just found ways to win games late, won a lot of close games. And then what happened? They got bounced in the playoffs. What were we seeing from the Eagles? And that's what I'm saying. We got to be honest with ourselves. We were literally watching the same type of season unfold. But because they got to the Super Bowl the year before, we kept giving them a pass, saying, oh, it'll turn around. It'll come. No, it didn't turn around. The secondary's been bad. People have been able to pass all over them. And Hurts and the crew in the office just found ways to maneuver and win games late. But once again, you know, when they play more complete football teams, they've had trouble. And Dallas, yeah, you know, has been a more complete football team. And so the Eagles this year are last year's Minnesota Vikings. We just don't want to admit that. But that's the case.
I still have friends around here. It's amazing I have friends. But, you know, someone texted me, oh, you know, they just can't play complete games. I said, stop. Will you stop? Like, that's just who they are. They make errors. They make mental errors. They have no creativity on defense. We had Bobby V come on the pod a month and a half ago. You know, big Madden gamer, you know, Twitch affiliate, Twitch partner. He knows Eagles. He knows football. He plays DFS. They send the same four rushers every play. They don't blitz. They don't mix it up. We thought, okay, maybe you're saving it for the playoffs. Maybe you can coast in. Well, you lose three in a row. Could have been four if you factor in the Valdez-Scantling drop. And, you know, it's about, if you're not going to show anything in these pivotal divisional games, then you just don't have it. And such talent on paper. Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Like, Jalen Hurts has had some issues this year. Right? Like, he'll have the rushing stats. He gets the one-yard plunges. He's showed some brilliance. He can extend plays with the best of them. We've seen kind of shaky decision-making from Hurts all season long, right? We've seen these things happen. We've seen the Eagles abandon the run at times. We've seen suspect play calling at times. We've seen frustrations from AJ Brown at times. We saw him try to, kudos to Howie Roseman. He's trying, man. He's trying. He went out and got Kevin Byard, right? There's not much of the NFL market in the middle of the season. Kevin Byard hasn't helped at all. I mean, it hasn't gotten any better. He went out, he's bringing in, Shaq Leonard, just last ditch efforts to try to put band-aids, over the water leak here. He's trying.
And maybe as Shaq gets acclimated, maybe he helps them a little.
But he won't help in coverage. He's not a coverage linebacker, right? Yeah. But kudos to them for trying, not stopping and bring people in, holding people accountable. I get it. But this is who the Eagles are. They're not a complete football team. Is Dallas a complete football team? They're close. They're showing that they're close. I don't know if they are. I still think, I think you made a really accurate kind of assessment. San Francisco is alone right now on top of this league in terms of, where we're ranking them. And then that second tier, you mentioned Dallas, Baltimore. I'm holding the line on the Eagles being, they're too talented to be any lower. They turned the ball over like fiends yesterday, right? Three giveaways, three fumbles lost. They had some serious drives. But, if you can't stop a nosebleed, any competent pass attack is going to bring it down in the fourth quarter.
Listen, and here's something else that happened in that game, too. Just a weird fumble by Dak and then, it get a scoop and score. If that doesn't happen and Dallas keeps driving, it's even worse than this. I want you to think about that. They scored 6 points on offense. That extra seven came from a defensive miscue or an offensive miscue, and the defense capitalized on it. You get what I'm saying, Luch? This could have easily been a 40-6 game. And that's not an exaggeration. If Dallas drives and scores on that drive, it starts to get really ugly.
There are just so many things we could talk about, but we might, for time purposes, just blend in, some notes from this past week with a little bit of a look ahead. But, huge win for the Jets. I just want to touch on that. And even though they're in the same division as Buffalo, the Texans with another loss on their resume helps Buffalo hunt for that wild card, which is their goal at this point, even more. We don't need Go ahead.
Let me say this about Buffalo. And, you mentioned it, I think 2 weeks ago, kudos to you. 2 weeks ago, our good friend Luch here says, you know what? I think this is wrong. I'm going to commit a few dollars to Buffalo going to the Super Bowl. The odds shouldn't be where they are. And lo and behold, that's all they needed was our good friend Luch to just have a little faith with them on the sports books. I don't think they've lost a game since. Now, look, Dallas is coming to town at some point. So that's happening. And so we'll see. In fact, Dallas is coming this week. So we'll know a lot more. Listen, if they beat Dallas this week, Lutz, I think suddenly the Bills, if they beat Dallas, I think the Bills suddenly feel like, wait a minute. But not only can we go to the playoffs here, we can beat anybody in the AFC. We don't feel like we're overmatched in the AFC. So I think to me, Luch, I think this game is a bigger game for Dallas than it is Buffalo, for what it's worth. Because here's why. Buffalo's already just trying to get in. Dallas keeps winning. They got home field advantage, at least for the first week. First 2 weeks, I think. So I think this is a big game for Dallas coming up. But I just wanted to shout you out for that, man. Kudos to getting that in there. And listen, if they make the playoffs, Luch, and they get out of round one, you might need to just start hitting that cash out button, buddy. But really, all they got, if they get into the AFC Championship, that's when it starts to get spicy.
I think they need to win three. Three gets them in, probably. Cowboy. This schedule breaks out nicely for them having Dallas come up to Buffalo. But listen, they were a Kadarius Toney toe away from losing that game. A legal toe away.
Well, there was still 3 minutes and some change left, though. Buffalo would have had a shot. So I don't want to count them out.
True.
They would have at least had an attempt to go down and get it done. So we'll see. But guess what? I mean, listen, receivers have a couple jobs, Luch. They have a couple jobs. One of them is to catch the football. That's one job, right? Another one is to make sure you line up properly. Come on, guy. And I know we've already visited that, but I just wanted to put that out there.
We just have to keep talking about it. We have to.
they have a couple responsibilities. Like, running backs have a couple jobs, right? Hit the right hole. You know, read your blocks. Don't fumble the football, right? If you're in pass protection, make sure you pick up which side. Make sure you understand the pass pro, right? You got to make sure you understand those things. So they've got a job. The quarterback's got a job. Make sure they put the team in the right situation. Make sure they relay the play to the huddle. And then if they need to make changes, make sure they get the protections right. Make sure the receivers understand if there's an audible being called, and the running back, making sure that they understand the coverage. Like, they've got extra responsibilities. And everybody gets paid to do something. Kadarius Toney gets paid to be a wide receiver.
And here's the thing.
He gets paid to line up properly.
It's so much more than that. When the Chiefs acquired him, it was like a party on Bourbon Street. Well, we got Kadarius Toney. If he stays healthy, what a steal. What a fleecing. I don't know what podcast it was on. We were on a podcast, and it's like, well, if the Giants, who had nobody in the receiver room at that point, and they still don't. I mean, this was pre-Jalen Hyatt, or this whatever show we did when they acquired Toney was way before Jalen Hyatt. You know, they were still having the same group of slot receivers in their room. For them to give up on a receiver who was, you know, as kind of highly touted as Toney was for the most part. I'm not saying this guy was, like, you know, touted as a stud, but they knew he had a ceiling. And the only concern was, you know, after that, well, if he stays healthy. So much more than that. Clearly the Giants, you know, knew what they had in Toney. We've seen so many mistakes from him, not only physically with the drops, but the mental errors. And I guess that's part of it. Lining up, you know, lining up, checking with the side judge. It's a culmination of things here. And I don't know if he's going to have a job next year with the Chiefs. I mean, I wouldn't bring him back. He's done nothing for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I hate talking so negatively, but we've seen him kind of fail in every aspect of kind of doing his job in critical moments this season as a wide receiver. And he's not the only person to blame. And that's another thing. Like you said, Patrick Mahomes has never placed the blame on any of his teammates. He's a good leader. So that whole thing was just a little out of character. And just to circle back, I placed that Bills bet after they lost to the Eagles because I knew their path to – then they had the bye week in between, that loss and the Chiefs. I knew the odds probably wouldn't be any – better, and if they would be, it'd be because they were like borderline mathematically eliminated. So we'll see. They got the Cowboys at home, as you talked about. It's a big 425 game. Then they got the Chargers, who are a mess. Somehow Brandon Staley hasn't been fired yet. Then they have the Patriots and the Dolphins.
Okay. They'll beat the Chargers. The Dolphins, I don't think they get, because I think they're going. They got to go to Miami. I don't think they get the Dolphins in Miami. I can't do that.
It could be an interesting gamesmanship thing at that point. If everything's locked into place, it's week 18. It depends. Like, do you value your health of your stars, or like?
So basically, what you're saying is Miami already has the AFC East locked up. They sit everybody, and Buffalo waltzes in, and they got to get a win. And Miami just kind of lays down and says, "Hey, you can have a win."
Maybe, but they wouldn't dare you.
I don't see that in a rival division. Foe? Listen, I'm perfectly fine putting Buffalo out of the playoffs. So I don't have to deal with it. Send them home.
You don't want Josh Allen to get in.
Yeah. Send them home. I'll play the Browns. I'll play the Steelers. I'll play Denver. I don't want to see Buffalo in the playoffs in terms of a division, you know, a division opponent. No, send them packing. They got to go. Now, but guess what? But I understand the organization. Tua gets hurt. Tyreek gets hurt. Waddle gets hurt. You know, one of these running backs gets hurt. Somebody off the offensive line gets hurt. One of their primetime defensive guys, like Jalen Ramsey, who's had some injury troubles here down the stretch the past few years, he gets hurt. And it impacts, you know, their chances. Then everybody's saying we should have just sat him. So I get both sides of the coin there. In my mind, these are football players. They want to be competitive. I don't want to see Buffalo. Let's go ahead and get rid of them now.
This coming Thursday, we have an absolutely atrocious of a Thursday night football game, atrocious game between the Raiders and the Chargers. 33.5 point total and a 3-point spread.
Well, we had a 30-point total the other night. And in the first half, Luch, it looked like it was going to be an explosion. And guess what? They were who we thought they were. Came back in the second half and did absolutely nothing. This is going to be a barn burner.
I'm seeing 11 games on the Sunday card. 5 of them have totals under 40 as of right now. So we're starting to see weather. We're starting to see cold. You know, we're starting to see, you know, some
we're of also starting teams. To see bad teams play bad teams.
We're seeing bad teams play bad teams. And, you know, we'll try to tie some things in from the previous week in with some matchups and some DFS here. But the highest point total on the Sunday card right now is that Buffalo-Dallas game. That's a 49-point total. And
it should be. It should be.
And the Rams and the Commanders is also a 49. But the
Rams should be.
The Rams are favored by 6.5. So it looks like they have one of the higher team totals on the slate.
Where are Jets-Dolphins?
Jets-Dolphins. 40.5. Miami is 11.5 point favorite. So it looks like they have a pretty respectable team total as well in Miami there.
Yeah, I just want to get an idea because I do feel like, you know, Miami, they just end up with high totals because, I mean, their offense has been ridiculous. So, yeah.
Same thing with Kansas City. They're 10-point favorites. The game total is 37.5. So, you know, Vegas still thinks they'll find ways to, you know, rack up a decent team total, which.
What happens if Kansas City loses this week?
We might need to take a mental vacation because I don't know if I can handle it.
Listen, Luch, I am not going to put it past Kansas City to lose this game against the Patriots. They got to go to New England. The Chiefs win? They should. But man, Luch, we've just seen so many weird things. So many weird things.
You know, I'm just looking at this slate. I'm looking at quarterbacks. I'm looking at matchups. You have Buffalo and Dallas, the two highest-priced DraftKings quarterbacks. Makes sense. You have Tua against the Jets, Mahomes against New England. CJ Stroud's banged up. He's playing Tennessee. I mean, that's a situation to monitor his health. The Tennessee secondary is bad. Jeffrey Simmons probably going to be out again. He's out for Monday night against Miami. Let's be real. The Titans might be fun next year when they bring in a bunch of pieces. But it's hard to watch now. I watch solely to see Will Levis do his thing, and I've seen enough. But if CJ Stroud's healthy, you got to look at that secondary with Tennessee and think about, you know, attacking there. Now we have Justin Fields at Cleveland, who was one of our calls last week. So good stuff. You have Brock Purdy at Arizona, and there's a big debate about Brock Purdy. Oh, how can he be an MVP candidate? All he does is, you know, run design stuff, design schemes in a great scheme. He has no A dot. He throws bubble screen passes, you know, all this stuff. He's just a system quarterback.
He's still pushing it down the field a little bit.
368 yards against Seattle.
Yeah.
Do you know it's been since week seven, he's completed at least 70% of his passes in every football game. I don't care what system you're in. If you're that efficient, you're doing something right. 25 touchdowns, 7 picks. You know, he had that little injury, had a concussion, I think, or he was something. You know, they had that lull during that 3-game stretch. But since that bye week, man, this team is on another level. And Brock Purdy has a lot to do with it.
Let me say this, Luke. I'm going away from the NFC. I'm going to bring it back to the AFC just for a quick second. And it might not seem like it, but I want to point this out. This is a huge week, and I mean huge week, for the AFC North. We're heading to week 15, and none of them are playing each other this week. The AFC North is the one division where right now everybody has a shot to get into the playoffs. As crazy as that sounds, everybody's got a shot. Luch, Bengals play the Vikings, Bears play the Browns, Jaguars play the Ravens, Steelers play the Colts. Nobody in the AFC North is playing each other this week. And if they all win, they're all still kind of in and in this weird on the bubble wild card situation. This is incredible. This is an incredible week for the AFC North, Luch. Incredible.
Can we just clap our hands for Delaware's finest? Joe Flacco.
I'm incredible. Man just comes in off the practice squad, leads the team to victories. Lutz, then I caught this morning. This is something I didn't realize. He actually goes back on the practice squad today and then comes off later. Unbelievable. And in fact, Lutz, other teams could sign Joe Flacco right now. Like, that is something that can't happen. The Browns haven't signed him to a season-long deal. I mean, in my mind, like, what are we doing here? Joe, here's what we want to do. We want you here for the rest of the season. Right? The teams rallied around him. I want to check this interview because they told me they were talking about this morning that Joe Flacco was kind of talking in the locker room yesterday. And they said it was like drop dead silence in there. Everybody's listening. Everybody's engaged. They said you could hear a pin drop. I'm going to check out this interview because I want to see it. But I think that's the value of experienced quarterback play. Guys that have been there, right? It might not be pretty. He's not the same old Joe Flacco, but it's how I feel about Andy Dalton in Carolina, right? If Andy Dalton would have been given the keys to this team, let me say this, Luch. Gosh, I didn't think I was going to talk about the stupid – awful Carolina Panthers today, but I think it's relevant to our situation. I think this season goes way different if Andy Dalton leads the team to start the season and we bring Bryce Young along. I think Carolina wins more football games. I think we play a better brand of football, right? I still think we probably should have been more creative, but there's value in the experience that these older quarterbacks have. And Andy Dalton isn't like old. But he's the starter every year now. Like now he's been relegated to a season backup who's going to get paid good backup money because he can come in and still win football games. My point is there's value in the veterans. Now, in the Browns case, I know that Deshaun Watson got hurt. So that was the reason for the carousel. You know, after him getting hurt and being out a game, back a game, out a game, season-long injury. But there's so much value in veterans that have been around the game that still have a lot left in the tank and a lot left to offer the game and offer a locker room, offer an organization. Once again, shout out to Joe Flacco.
And listen, we've been right. We've been right a lot lately. Little verbal victory lap here. One thing I was very confused at and wrong initially about was what are the Bears doing? Bringing in Josh Sweat. It was a Montez Sweat. I mix up my sweats sometimes. a couple of weeks ago. What, was about a month ago? Was that when the trade deadline was? About a month ago? Yeah, 4 games ago. And I tell you what, the Bears have won 3 football games since Montez Sweat came in. Josh Sweat's an Eagle. That's why I was on my mind. Since Montez Sweat came in. He has 3.5 yeah. sacks in 4 games. And you know, I know they've played some kind of lower-tier teams, but they've been a top 5-ish defense in a lot of metrics. I mean, they just blew that game against Detroit earlier in November. They had a positive game script in the second half. They got too conservative. They should have won that football game, too. They should have beat the Lions the first time. You know, they beat the Panthers. They beat the Vikings, 2 disgusting football games. Then they come out and beat a Lions team at full strength on Sunday. Full strength Lions team. And I don't know. There's been so many rumors about, well, what are they doing with Justin Fields? Are they going to draft a quarterback? Is the head coach going to get fired? The head coach is going to get fired. They're looking at other coaches. This team has probably dealt with more off the field crap just because A, they're not a great football team, but they're not the worst team in the league right now. And they have all these high equity, you know, draft positions that I just can't imagine mentally, you know, how strong or maybe not, or like, which is what Justin Fields is going through as a young quarterback, you know, who's dealt with various coaching changes, you know, didn't have the best talent around him. They bring in DJ Moore midseason and, you know, but did he get a fair shake? I don't know. Is he perfect? No. Does he make mistakes? Yeah. He holds onto the ball too long, right? He does some turnover worthy type things, but okay, this might not go over well with the listeners, but what would the drop off be, or the difference be? How big of a gap, I should say, in results would it be Here we go. Buckle up for this one. If Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields swapped uniforms.
We've been doing this song and dance long enough. I knew where this was headed already. And I don't think it would be much different because what happens is this, Luch, if they just swap uniforms, then I'm going to put them in the same situation. You're basically giving Justin Fields 2 years to get acclimated to an offense, right? And this would be his third season with the Eagles. Am I right on that? Yeah, right? Because his second year was when they gave him the keys all the way. Like, he got the keys in his first season, kind of mid to end of the season. Right, Luch?
Right. Second full season. 2021. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Second season was last year. They went to the Super Bowl. Third full season is this year. I think we see similar results. Here's my question for you. I do want to go back to the Bears. Well,
2020. Oh,
sure.
2020 was the first year that it was like, all right. Like,
yeah.
And 2021 kind of – 2021 was the year where it's like, well, I don't know if he's the guy. We'll see. You know, he showed us a little bit. Last year was the, holy crap, he's arrived year. It was Jalen.
Yeah. This is what it takes for most quarterbacks. Like, they need a little time to catch up. But here's my question, Luch. And I think this is from somewhat of an organizational standpoint. And then I know we'll close out here as we continue on. If the Bears hit the full-blown reset quarterback button again, what are they going to do with Justin Fields? Because they can't keep him. I think too many teams will be calling.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? Like, they can't keep him. So that's number one. Then you just go and say, okay, so if they can't keep him, which teams are now looking for a quarterback? Like, actually, to me, there's only a handful, Luce, that are actually say, okay, he would walk in and be our guy, unless they just got rid of somebody else, mm-hmm. right? Unless they just got rid of him. Okay, I think there's a couple teams. Luce, one, I think the Raiders. Like, I don't think they're playing Aiden O'Connell right now. So clearly Jimmy isn't the guy, right? You see what I'm saying? Clearly they're saying, okay, Jimmy isn't the guy. Raiders are one. Depending on what happens with the Vikings and Kirk Cousins, the Vikings are two. Not in any order. I'm just saying these are teams that could be legitimately looking for a quarterback. You got the Raiders. Right. You got the Vikings. What is Atlanta going to do?
Yep.
Okay, you got Atlanta. Atlanta's on that list. Now, this one's sneaky, Lou. This one's sneaky. It's not going to be in the forefront right now, but I think they're close. What are the Buccaneers going to do? You get what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, what are the Patriots going to do?
What are the Patriots going to do?
Okay. Luch.
That's a good one.
And then, so that's five teams. And then you've got a handful of other teams that – like you got the Seahawks with Geno, and I think they love Geno, and I think Geno loves being there. I don't think anything's going to happen there, but I'm saying Geno's still aging. He's still been in the league. Justin Fields could still be explosive. You know, I think the Titans are going to be committed to Will Levis, but what if they're not? Like, what?
They are.
So, they are. What are the Saints all the way committed to Derek Carr? Like, what? You see what I'm saying? And then suddenly, I'm not – and so for those teams, those are more on the outside looking in for me. But those other five, Vikings, Patriots, Falcons, Raiders, like those teams, Buccaneers, those teams could be legitimate spot landing spots for him, Luch. And, I mean, I think it might be best for him. I really do.
Guess who? I checked two sites to make sure. I checked Sport Rack and Over the Cap. Guess whose contract is on his last year next season? It's Justin Fields.
Right?
Business, that plays such a huge part in are the Bears going to move on. It's not almost not as much of do we not believe in Justin Fields? It's we're not winning now, and if we want him to stay, we're going with the way the quarterback market is, we're going to have to pay him a lot of money
Or listen, they don't have to pay him nearly as much as some of these established guys because he's unproven.
But for where they are in the grand scheme of winning, it's, you know what? Let's get some value for him from someone who's ready to take that next step or will look to pay him that believes in him. And we'll use our draft capital and get that, you know, rookie contract on that quarterback so we can build. They did the most poor job building around Justin Fields because they didn't. They did not build around Justin Fields. It's almost like mid-season last year. They're like, oh, shit, let's hit the panic button and get him a weapon. Let's get him somebody. Let's get him DJ Moore. Like, they did nothing for Justin Fields. It was an epic fail. Epic fail from top to bottom with the Justin Fields experiment. So I don't think he got a fair shake. And I hope he puts on a different uniform. And I think that's what's going to happen. Just with the business side of things, it makes all the sense in the world to try to hit one of these quarterbacks in the draft, try to get some capital for Justin Fields, and kind of, you know, try to actually build something instead of having, you know, another epic fail. Okay, before so you know Luke, it, before you know it, a decade's gone. A decade's gone. Go ahead.
Let's talk through that very quickly, Luke. I pulled up something while we were live here on the show, just talking about the quarterback averages per year. It hopefully doesn't have me lagging too bad. I am going to close it once we're done. But highest paid average per year right now is Joe Burrow at $55 million. $55 million. Behind him, Justin Herbert, $52.5 million. Behind him, Lamar, $52 million. Behind him, Hurts, $51 million. Behind him, Russell Wilson, $49 million. Kyler Murray, $46 million. Geno's at 25. Jared Goff is at 33. Derek Carr's at 37. At the bottom here, CJ Stroud at $9 million on his rookie contract. Trevor Lawrence at $9 million. He's going to get restructured. Zach Wilson at $8 million. Anthony Richardson at $8 million. Tua at $7 million. And his is going to get restructured. My point is this. Where does Justin Fields fall in that category? I don't think you can pay Justin Fields more than $30 million a year right now. And this is coming from somebody that actually likes Justin Fields.
So do I, and I get it. And it's certainly not in Chicago's plan to pay a quarterback $30 million a year right now. So when you have the opportunity, you have a top pick. Now, and just listen, from me following,
Justin Fields is going to be a business decision. They can pay Caleb Williams $9 million a year, $9, $10 million a year over the next, what, let's call it 3 seasons, Luch. And if he produces, they'll probably restructure year three, get him more guaranteed money, you know, get him up to that upper echelon. But, like, and that's the thing. Like, I think Justin's okay. I think he'll land somewhere. But even from a business decision, like, it's hard to find the quarterback. It just is, right? But from a business decision, they're going to save so much money by bringing in Caleb Williams. Like, they're just going to save the money.
That's I led off with that exact point, and he hammered it home. It's exactly right. And before we move on, I know we have to talk a little bit about a look ahead because we went on a tangent, but that's what we do here, folks, is in more ways than one, the quarterback is the starting pitcher of football. They control the game. You know, but not only, you know, off the field stuff, like off the field wise, the market's just unbelievable. Like, they're the market. There's no other position that commands this kind of value and money like the quarterbacks do, or like your elite starting pitchers do. Okay, Otani's an exception. He plays both ways. By the way, crazy week in baseball. Story for another time. But just for me, you know, following the Tennessee organization as close as I do, obviously, when Ryan Tannehill signed that massive deal in 2020, I mean, they were playing great football. They had the team around him, you know, AFC championship appearance. I get it. He was the third highest paid quarterback. And everyone's like, wow, they overpaid for Tannehill. But the market just keeps resetting. And now you fast forward to 2023. And of course, Tannehill is old news, but, you know, he is like the, I don't know, 17th, you know, highest valued contract right now among all quarterbacks. It just keeps revolving, right? The contracts come and go. And the market continues to rise.
But so who's going to be the quarterback, Loops, that says, hey, guys, listen. And it's going to have to be a big name, right? Who's going to be the quarterback that says, hey, look, I know that I'm worth this, but I want to win championships.
Right.
How can we structure this thing so it's fair, right? I want to get what I'm worth, but I don't want you to overspend. Like,
well, like it's probably not going to be Caleb Williams since he wants equity in a franchise. I mean, what is he?
He's Michael Jordan. That's what he thinks.
What are you not?
No, I get it, but you get what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I know.
It's for everybody. Just go and watch the movie Air, and you'll know what I'm talking about. And but yeah, it's I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Anyway, hope you enjoyed our little off the rails. You know, we do that sometimes. If you've been one of our listeners since we were in the bubble for NBA, I mean, we talk about, you know, where the guys played in college and how things have transitioned. So, you know, thanks for sticking with us this season. We're having a blast. Yeah. And
we did do some look ahead stuff. We talked about Cowboys Bills and right. We talked about the AFC North and, you know, Ravens playing. We didn't, maybe not specifically, but none of them are playing each other. You know, Chiefs at the Patriots. So yeah, we talked about a few things. Let me say this. Here's my bold call, because we do get a Saturday game this week. I think the Broncos beat the Lions. And that's kind of not bold. The Broncos defense has really, Luch, I mean, really shaped up down the stretch here. I think the Broncos get the Lions, and when they get the Lions, I think they're on the way to the playoffs.
Man, this thing would look a hell of a lot different if they beat Houston 2 weeks ago in that barn burn down to the wire.
Do you see what I'm saying? Imagine if they would have beat Houston. They would have probably already be locked up in the wild card and just needed to keep sustaining. And look, I'm going to get off this because I know we got to get off the air. But somebody said it, you know, on the air, I think either today or over the weekend. And I've said it before as well, Luke. For all the slack that Sean Payton took, this is also why you went out and got Sean Payton. See, we thought this season was over. And all of a sudden, competent coaching makes competent football teams. Think about it, Luke. Competent coaching makes competent football teams. Now, we're not saying they're number one team in the league. But look at they're playing competent football, right?
And not only that, they made a business decision, because I know their phone was ringing, on holding on to Jerry Jeudy. And he's underperformed. He's been pretty bad. But now you're in the thick of things, and you have him. And we know he's talented, and he just hasn't put it together. But now that decision looks a little bit better right now, doesn't it, in terms of maybe making a run this season?
Yeah. I mean, look, for all intents and purposes, Luch, if the Broncos get to the playoffs this year, that's a win for this team. And I'm saying an accomplishment. It's an accomplishment considering where they've been the past few seasons. Like, I think people may have forgotten about the Drew Lock seasons. What's the other guy? A quarterback played at Memphis. Peyton. I can't remember. You know who I'm talking about? That
Paxton
season.
Lynch.
Yeah, Paxton Lynch.
Yep.
The Trevor Siemian seasons, right? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? You start going back, and you're like, wait a minute. It's been ugly. It's been ugly in Denver. If they get into the playoffs, this is a huge accomplishment for a team that got beat that let another team score 70 points on them this season. Huge accomplishment. Boy,
that if that ain't the most no faith league thing ever, I don't know what
there we go. There we go.
I'm just scrolling through some of these matchups, and we talked about some of the low totals. I'm looking at wide receiver, and a couple weeks ago, Cooper Kupp got hurt. I had him on my King of the Beach team. It was a great day for me. Being sarcastic here. I was happy to be there. Didn't work out. He looked pretty banged up. But he goes in the pouring rain in Baltimore and carves up the Ravens. It looks like he's back, and he's 7,800 on DraftKings against Washington. There's your cash game, like optimal high floor, high ceiling combo play. I don't even have to look any further. It's Cooper Kupp at 78. He looks fine.
Yeah.
As long as he practices in full, you know, to end the week, maybe they'll probably maybe give him a little bit of rest earlier this week. That's fine. But we can tie that in with a monster win for Baltimore, the sloppy weather conditions, you know, heartbreaker for the Rams. They had the ball in hand trying to win, you know, to either tie, win, went to overtime. Didn't work out. But kudos to them. You know, West Coast team called them on all the way out to the East Coast. They're used to playing inside. Matt Stafford's been terrible historically playing outside. He's been playing in the dome his whole career for all of his home games. They come out and bring the Ravens to OT. And I know the Ravens, you know, I know they're without Mark Andrews, and they've had some injuries as well. But Isaiah Likely stepping up. There were some horrendous blown coverages from the Rams in this game. I don't know if you saw Isaiah Likely's touchdown. Blown coverage. Like, not taking away anything from Likely's performance and Lamar's performance. Blown play. It's football. Blown coverage. Yeah. Blown play. But, you know, that game had a projected total of, like, what, 38? And I think it got bet down from the open.
Yeah, because of the possible weather.
The weather was there. It was ugly. But what a freaking shootout. Was that the highest total? Was that the highest scored game of the week? I think it might have been.
It may have been. Atlanta, it had to be because it was 37-31. And I think Atlanta and the Buccaneers was, what, 29-24, 29-25. Yeah, that one was 29-25. Bengals were 34-14. Browns and Jags, 31-17. Those were our really, like, kind of highest score ones. Behind that would have been 49ers Seahawks at 28-16. So, yeah, definitely highest score of the week in terms of total game. We did have some teams that got, you know, close to 30, over 30, 28, but the other teams didn't do much.
Yeah. One more note, and we were talking about C.J. Stroud. Nico Collins had a calf injury. So, boy, I mean, for DFS purposes, you know, you're hoping he suits up against Tennessee, because if you're not looking at Cooper Kupp, you got to think about Nico Collins in that matchup. The Houston injury report is going to be one to monitor this week. A couple other ones that just catch my attention before we hit story time and close it out.
Our biggest barn burner of the week was Vikings Raiders.
Oh, good Lord.
3-0. Unbelievable.
Justin Jefferson, big story in that game. Josh
Dobbs. Yeah, man.
Josh Dobbs threw him a hospital ball in traffic, and he went up, caught it, and got laid out. And it's a chest injury, so hopefully, you know, he has a speedy recovery there. And we're starting to see the Josh Dobbs that got, you know, cut from Arizona, the Josh Dobbs that the Titans didn't bring back after a plug-in play last season. A great story. Like, he, you know, some guys are just a spark, and they're able to, you know, make things happen. And we're finally starting to see, you know, the level of play. A little bit of regression.
Yeah, he's been in the league a few years. Like, look, but here's the thing. You could do worse at backup quarterback than Josh Dobbs.
He's a high-end QB2. High-end backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And shout out to Josh Browning, who has proven to at least be that so far in what we've seen. I mean,
Jake Browning,
Washington, right? Yeah, Washington. I've been – that's where he played college football.
Absolutely.
I've been, like, blown away with how this offense hasn't missed a beat. And before this week, despite plugging him in for Burrow, they were still passing at the third highest neutral rate in the league. So they basically gave him the keys and ran the same exact offense. And tip my cap.
What does that sound like, though?
What?
What does that sound like to you?
It sounds like they trust him.
It sounds like the 49ers. See, so think about that, Lucy. This is me. I'm always comparing and analyzing, looking. And this is what we did with the 49ers. They had Jimmy. They had all these guys. They're like, oh, it's a plug-and-play offense. You plug them in, they're successful. And there probably are some conceptual things that help the quarterbacks get acclimated and move the offensive line along. So we can't ignore that. But here's why I'm bringing this up. There's one important reason. If the 49ers and the Shanahan offense have been able to kind of create this kind of, hey, we get creative enough to win, we can move the football, so forth and so on. It's no secret or it's no flaw that the Cincinnati Bengals past two seasons have been able to compete for championships. Do you see what I'm saying? You see where I'm headed with this, Luch? It's no secret. Like, it's not a fluke that they got to a Super Bowl or almost to a Super Bowl. I don't think it's a fluke that this team can continue to get better if Joe Burrow completes a healthy recovery. They continue to invest in their offensive line. They continue to invest in their defense, because I believe their wide receiver room is a quality wide receiver room. T. Higgins might be another one that's available after this season, or if I'm not mistaken, Luke. T. Higgins could be in that conversation. Listen, if I'm Kansas City, I'm calling. You better be making that call. But I'm saying that to say, if Cincinnati can get healthy, they could be very problematic again coming in the next season. I think they could catch some steam.
I agree.
And be another problem team, and we could very well see them on their way to another possible Super Bowl, especially with Kansas City falling behind.
Story time. You got anything good?
Man, I've got all kind of good things good. And listen, man, I'm going to let you guys kind of hang out into my personal life here. Luch, for those of you that don't know, I like to watch clean television. So I'm not really into, like, you know, all of the drama. When I say drama TV, I'm talking about like Housewives and just, I like to watch positive things, right? I like to create positive energy. It's just kind of my jam. So the Hallmark Network, Luch, just keeps cranking out just feel good Christmas movies around this time. I mean, so many new ones. And so I just, you know, for me, my story time is, you know, continue to get good into your life, or put good in, or put good out, and you'll get good back. If you put good in, you also have good output as well. But that's my thing, man. Like, take some time, hop off your TikTok, hop off your X or your Twitter, where we got the DFS beef and you know, the rapper beef and all this drama. Just hop off for, you know, an hour or two. And just watch you something feel good. Watch the movie Elf. If you don't have to watch Elf. Watch Home Alone. Just watch a good Christmas feel good movie, Luch. And I'm telling you, man, that positive energy gets going and good things continue to happen. So that's my story time. I let everybody into my personal life a little bit. I love the Hallmark Channel, especially when these Christmas movies come out, Luch. I'm a big, like, Christmas guy. Like, love Christmas. And so there you have it.
Yeah, I love to hear that. Christmas is big in this house, too.
And it doesn't have to be a Christmas movie. Just watch a feel-good movie.
Yeah.
Just take some time out, watch something that makes you feel good.
I love it. Yeah, so much negativity, so much, you know, hate in the world, so much garbage going on. Turn on the news, it's just depressing. And I get it. Like, it's real life. You have to deal with it. You have to know what's going on. I have awareness.
Well, real life has positive things that happen,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly. Let's not let the dark stuff totally consume you. And, you know, you still got to find ways to, you know, be happy.
Oh, yeah.
To a degree, at least. Like, try.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe some people will be listen to this terrible segue. Maybe some people will be happy after week 14. Big week in fantasy sports. It's mostly the last regular season week of, you know, annual league season-long fantasy playoffs. So good luck to all of you in your home leagues with your bragging rights or, you know, your high-stakes industry drafts. Best ball regular season is wrapping up, so there'll be some pretty big regular season prizes handed out on sites like Underdog. But also, the best ball playoffs are starting up, so good luck to all of you who've been grinding away and all of you who support Spike Week with our guys, Eric, Rob, and everybody else over there, a hacker on Spike Week, who just does a tremendous job. And there's playoff best ball as well, and they're pumping out content for that too, so we'll see. I should have, I don't know, I might have like a dozen BBM teams make it, maybe like 13 or 14, but I have 3 555 DK entries, and I'm thinking one might squeak in after tonight. So all you need is one, baby, and we'll see what happens. But I'll be watching Jordan Love on Monday Night Football for sure. So good luck to everybody. It's starting to get exciting. It's, you know, one of the craziest times of the year, and I know this is an NFL pod, but college bowl season is here. And it's going to be fun, and you know, you'll see. Well, you won't see as many of these future pros suit up anymore, as a lot of them are going to opt out. But you'll definitely see some future NFL pros take the field, you know, in some of these big bowl games towards the end of the year. So that's absolutely just my story time is just a hey, good luck, everybody. And you know, if this podcast does anything, hopefully some of the tidbits either help you and win a little bit of money, or just you enjoy our conversation and have you thinking about some different things that you probably won't hear on any other podcast on Roto Grinders this week. So if you're into some of that outside the box, let's talk about quarterbacks, contracts, business, and what the hell's going on in the league, then you might have found a home here with us. So, Chief, let's head out of here.
Yeah, man. Let's do it, brother. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in, man. You know, catch me on Twitter at ChiefJustice06. And, you know, I'm doing tons of content for Roto Grinder all the time via the Pick'em Streets, the Blitz, a whole bunch of other things. And we just really thank you guys for joining us, man, each week and allowing us to your podcast and to your homes and to your workouts and listening to a couple fans rant and rave about real football and a little bit of DFS at the same time.
Thank you guys so much. We'll catch you next week. Until then, enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the football and take care.